In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Fallen man has always misunderstood Jesus. But it's worse than that. Fallen man manipulates Jesus to create a God that they prefer. So Aaron molded God into a golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. And modern man today creates the God that suits his own fancy. For the Jews, it was a political Messiah to drive out the Romans. For us today, it's almost, well, you can fill in the blank. They make Jesus into whatever they desire him to be. Even the disciples misunderstood Jesus, and they had been with him for 3 years. This is the third time he has spoken about his death and resurrection, and they still do not get it. Three times, Scripture says, they do not understand what he is saying. Now, they certainly understood the grammar and the structure and the syntax and the sounds, but they don't understand Jesus. They don't get who he is or why he has come. Nothing catches him by surprise. He clearly lays out beforehand what will happen to him, lest we think somehow his death was unplanned. No, this is the very reason that he came. And yet the crowds and the disciples do not get it. I would like to think that we understand Jesus, who he is and why he came. But then again, I also know how strong our fallen flesh is, and also how weak our minds are. Facts and details get fuzzy. What we learned in class, perhaps years ago, gets a bit distorted, and we bend the truth to suit our own desires. We put our own little spin on the story. We ignore that question that was drilled in us into confirmation class: what does this mean? And instead, we opt for a question: what does this mean to me? It may seem innocent on the outset, but all of a sudden it puts us in the driver's seat. They say that it makes the scriptures more personal to me, but all of a sudden objectivity is gone and subjectivity rules the day. The scriptures can mean whatever they want to me, and they don't have to mean the same thing to you. At its worst, this has caused numerous errors in the church. So if we want a Jesus who will give us political freedom, then we read every passage with that bent. If we want a Jesus that will give us economic prosperity, a good life, happiness here on this earth, then we read all the passages in that light. Or even if we want a Jesus that will condone our blatant sin in the name of love, then we read all the passages that way. God is simply a God of love. You see where this ends. It doesn't end at the foot of the cross, worshiping a God who is our Savior. But it ends apart from God, apart from that Savior. So rather than shaking our heads at the 12 for not understanding who Jesus is and why he came, we would be wise to pay attention, lest we also end up confused. Jesus' own words clearly reveal who he is and why he came. He's a sacrifice. Particularly, he's the Passover sacrifice who will set us free. He knows why he came. He knows what his will is. Nothing will catch him by surprise. Satan must be crushed. Sin must be paid for. The curse must be removed. So he must go to his cross. For only the blood of God can redeem fallen man. He must die a bloody, gruesome death, for there is life in his blood. So he sets his face straight toward Jerusalem, undeterred, knowing full well what is coming. And that is his love, that he refused to look away. He refused to turn aside from that cross, because he could not stand the fact of not having you forever. No one takes his life. He willingly lays it down. And he knows what the end will be. victory for him and victory for you. So the cross is who Jesus is. The cross is why he came. So we would do very well to read all the stories of Scripture in that light. Jesus, the sacrifice. The blind man saw what the crowds and the disciples failed to see. He cries out to Jesus, the Son of David. The Son of David is a messianic title of the one who was coming to set Israel free. David was anointed king over Israel, and then God gave him the promise that his son would rule over Israel forever and ever and ever. So by calling Jesus the Son of David, this blind man confesses Jesus is David's son and yet David's Lord, God in the flesh. He will not be silent, though the crowds tried to silence him. He will not be silent, for only one can heal him, only one can redeem him, and he believes Jesus will do just that, for that is why he came. And Jesus heals him. The miracles of Jesus are but a glimpse of his love and his power, but a small glimpse. He helps one person with one problem in one particular time and one specific place. But the cross of Christ reveals the vastness of his love and power as he helps all people of all time with all problems. To know him as a Savior, to call him a Savior, is to call him a sacrifice. He did not come so crowds could parade in front of him, declaring his arrival, but he came to heal the broken, to help the helpless, to bind up the weak, to uplift the downtrodden, to take away the effects of sin, to restore what sin has ruined, to remove the curse, to deal with blindness, loss of hearing, pain, cancer, disease, even death itself. And the way he does that is at his cross. That is how he saves. And on the third day, he rises again because he has accomplished what he came to do. The cross is the heart of Christianity, the symbol that reveals who he is and also why we gather. They give us our marching orders. God has redeemed us. So your failures cannot separate you from God. Your sins cannot bind you or pull you down. Your shortcomings, your difficulties, your failures, they do not define you. The cross of Christ defines you. This is who you are, as those washed in the blood of the Lamb himself. So yes, dear Christian, there is no greater beauty than seeing this man, your God, hanging from a tree, his blood streaming from his holy wounds. This is how he heals. This is how he saves. Do not look away from him. Do not be embarrassed by that sight, but joyfully follow him, even as we now go to Calvary. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. So we begin a journey that some of us have taken many times before. We are headed to Easter. And along the way, we will stop at the cross on Calvary. Christmas will reach its conclusion, for Jesus came to be a sacrifice. All that was written by the prophets will be fulfilled, for Jesus came to be a sacrifice. We worship a God who bled and who died, who lay in a grave for 3 days, and who rose on the third day. All preconceived ideas about who we think Jesus should be, all the constructs that we have set up, are all knocked down, for Jesus came to be a sacrifice. This is how he saves. This is how he loves. This is our life. This is our strength in life. We are healed. We are made new. We are redeemed and saved from all things. And so God has opened our eyes to see in his cross freedom, life, and peace. I've often said that we don't live by our feelings, but by faith. And that is true. That doesn't mean that we're a bunch of robots walking around. God created us as emotional creatures. But like all gifts of God, this gift of our feelings is to be used in service to his word, to the praise and glory of God. In other words, we feel what the scriptures direct us to feel. So the blind man rejoices that Jesus has healed him and is heading toward Jerusalem to give his life. And we rejoice that our God was born, that our God suffered and died, and that our God rose again on the third day. The cross is both joyful yet also painful. It's painful because that is our God. Yet it's joyful because that is his love, that he was willing to lay down his life to have us. So no difficulty will last forever. Nothing will bring us too low. Nothing will raise us up too high. For no sin can bind us. No earthly joy lasts forever. We see in the cross the destruction of every evil, of Satan, of sin, of death, of cancer, of pain, and so forth. We see in the cross our greatest joy and happiness and satisfaction, life with God forever. So we will rejoice and be glad during Lent. We will, even though it's a more muted joy. We will rejoice and be glad, even if our life is a mess, because Jesus is our sacrifice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.